Book of Moses, Insight 1, Introduction to Enoch's Prophetic Commission. As with many prophets elsewhere in Scripture, the account of Enoch's mission found in the Pearl of Great Price begins with the details of how he was called as a prophet. Such a story is often called a prophetic commission. Bible scholar Walter Zimmerle distinguished between two types of prophetic commissions. One, the narrative call pattern, whereby the prophet is called as part of a conversation with the Lord or his representative, and objections to his fitness for the mission are raised and resolved. And two, the throne theophany call pattern, whereby the prophet ascends to the presence of God to receive his divine commission. Though no account of a prophetic calling rigidly fits the criteria for either of these categories, the calls of Moses, Jeremiah, and Enoch might be seen as typifying the first pattern, the narrative call pattern, whereas the calls of Isaiah and Ezekiel are generally good examples of the second pattern, the throne theophany. Among the objections that skeptics have raised about the Book of Mormon is whether, on the one hand, it has simply borrowed its stories and language wholesale from the Bible, and on the other hand, paradoxically, whether it is not biblical enough. In addition to introducing significant aspects of Enoch's call that will be treated in more depth in subsequent articles, this article will give examples of how both kinds of objections could be met with a little research and careful reading. With respect to the concern about wholesale borrowing from the Bible, our response will treat this question. Does Moses 6, 26, and 27 simply borrow from the Gospel of John? With respect to the concern about whether the Book of Moses is sufficiently biblical, we will address a second question. Does Enoch's call fit the biblical pattern? Does Moses 6, 26, and 27 simply borrow from the Gospel of John? The account of Enoch's prophetic commission in Moses 6 begins as follows. And it came to pass that Enoch journeyed in the land, among the people, and as he journeyed, the Spirit of God descended out of heaven and abode upon him. And he heard a voice from heaven saying, Enoch, my son, prophesy unto this people. Curiously, the closest biblical parallel to the wording of these opening verses is not to be found in the call of any Old Testament prophet, but rather in the description of events following Jesus' baptism found in the New Testament. As demonstrated in the following chart, these parallels include the Spirit of God descending from heaven, the Spirit abiding upon an individual, and a voice from heaven declaring that individual sonship. The connection between Enoch's divine encounter and the baptism of Jesus becomes intelligible when one regards the latter event, as do Margaret Barker and Gaetano Lettieri, as an ascent experience, consistent with the idea of baptism as prefiguring death and resurrection. From this perspective, we can see Enoch's prophetic commission as having been given in the context of a heavenly ascent. Though one might try to explain the parallels between Moses 6, 26, and 27 and the baptism of Jesus as an obvious case of Joseph Smith simply borrowing the New Testament, an article by the non-Latter-day Saints scholar Samuel Zinner argues that the relevant New Testament motifs that may have actually have their origins in the Enoch literature. Zinner compares the Father's declaration of sonship found in Hebrews 1, 5, and 6 to account of Jesus' baptism found in the Gospel of the Ebionites and the Gospel of the Hebrews. He also notes that the motifs of rest and reigning co-occur in these three texts, as well as in the Coptic Gospel of Thomas. Finally, Zinner sees striking similarities between first Enoch and the baptismal allusion in the Gospel of the Ebionites in regard to a promise made to Enoch by Enoch to the righteous. Quote, and a bright light will shine upon you, and the voice of rest you will hear from heaven. In light of these and additional passages relating these themes to the personage of the Son of Man, Zinner argues that the ideas behind all these passages arose in an Enochic matrix, in other words, literary traditions concerning the prophet Enoch. Thus, it is certainly possible that the New Testament authors who recorded Christ's baptism were alluding to ideas from the Enoch literature rather than vice versa. Of course, evidence that the authors of the New Testament Gospels may have drawn on older ideas when they composed their accounts does not change the fact that the Book of Moses frequently shares vocabulary and phrasing with them. If Joseph Smith had translated the Book of Moses using the method that ordinary translators used in rendering a document from one language into English, one would hardly expect the English translation of the ancient ideas, presumably not Greek, to match the King James translation of the Greek Gospels so perfectly. This observation holds for every one of Joseph Smith's translations. Indeed, the most obvious thing one can say about the vocabulary of the Book of Moses is that, like most of Joseph Smith's other translations and revelations, it draws extensively from the Bible. How can this be explained? We should not forget that biblical language was often used to express religious ideas in Joseph Smith's day. That being the case, the biblical language found in Joseph Smith's revelations might reasonably be seen as a deliberate part of what Ben McGuire calls, quote, the rhetorical strategy of the text and translation, end of quote. This refers, among other things, to the idea that the use of scripture phrasing familiar to Joseph Smith's Bible reading contemporaries might have increased their acceptance of his revelations as authentic scripture on a par with the Old and New Testaments. Moreover, when the prophet used familiar, but sometimes more difficult to understand, King James language in modern scripture, it provided direct signals to perceptive readers about interconnections with the Bible that otherwise might have been difficult to detect. These intertextual connections could be seen as fulfilling the Book of Mormon prophecy that old and new revelations would grow together as one. In summary, we can generalize the lesson above as follows. 1. The Bible itself did not appear in a vacuum, and the ideas expressed in the Bible may have had their origins long before the biblical era. And 2. The presence of biblical language in modern scripture seems to have been part of a divine strategy to bless its readers. Does Enoch's prophetic commission fit the biblical pattern? The account of Enoch's prophetic commission occupies only 11 verses in the Book of Moses. It is easy to rush past them in our reading, pausing only to appreciate some of the more memorable features, such as the characterization of Enoch as a lad, and then moving on quickly to the assumption that we already know the gist of the passage as a whole. We can be grateful to Stephen Ricks, BYU professor, for the deep knowledge of ancient scripture that he has acquired and the detailed attention he has given to the text of the Book of Moses, uncovering things that might otherwise have gone unnoticed, including the fact that Enoch's prophetic calling proves to be a good fit to the biblical pattern. Following Norman Habel, Professor Ricks has identified 6 characteristic features of the narrative call pattern found in the Bible. Remarkably, each of these is not only present in the Book of Moses' account of Enoch's prophetic commission, but is also presented, with one exception, in the typical sequence. The divine confrontation, Moses 6:26, the introductory word, Moses 6:28, the commission, Moses 6:27, the objection, Moses 6:31, the reassurance, Moses 6:32-34, and the sign, Moses 6:35 and 36. Future articles will examine each of these features in the prophetic commission of Enoch in greater detail. Such findings demonstrate not only that the Book of Moses holds up well under close examination, but also that, like a fractal whose self-similar patterns become more wondrous upon the ever closer inspection, the brilliance of its inspiration shines most impressively under bright light and high magnification. There is glory in the details.